This show furnished by Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervy's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervy. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervy, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervy and Carrie Kasem.
You're listening to Gervy's Law. I'm Carrie Kasem. Usually I do this show with Alan Gervy. But Alan Gervy, he decided I should open this up. And I'll tell you why. And I think it's a very good choice. And he usually makes very good decisions. I read an article. I called him up. I said, this article that's in Super Lawyers is unbelievable. The story that you tell and what happened to you is just something that I would actually have had a guest on. I would have said, book that guy, because this is something you need to talk about.
You're going to book me?
I am booking you. So I've hijacked the show today.
I'm here.
I am hosting the show today because I'm going to interview you.
You have hijacked this show.
I don't think in the last few years, of doing Gervy's Law, I've never actually got to open the show, hijack the show, and take it over. But really, let me tell people why this is so important. You were in an article in Super Lawyers. Super Lawyers is a really big deal. It's a magazine, and it's what it does. Super Lawyers is a rating service of outstanding lawyers. It's done by your peers and by Thomson Reuters.
Right.
Yes. And so they did a whole article on you. It's called Diagnosis Life. And
it just came out this week.
It did. And I'm reading it going, this is not the Alan I know.
Wait, so you're reading it. Did it come up on your Facebook feed? Or
no, actually, Jason Rose sent it to me.
Oh, I thought everyone saw it.
No, because I'm not a part of Super Lawyers. But Jason Rose
Well, you don't
sent
have to be
me.
A part of Super Lawyers.
Well, there's a lot of lawyers and non-lawyers that do read this. It's a pretty big thing. It's a pretty big honor.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I want to thank Super Lawyers for doing this feature article on me. And now I'm ready to be interviewed on my own show by Carrie Kasem.
Yeah, and you know who else is coming in? We have your wife, Nancy. And, of course, your mom is sitting there, but I know your wife is not here yet. She's going to walk in. I wanted to surprise you.
I think the kids are napping, actually.
No, they're coming. So we've got Harper and Hudson.
Right.
They're heading in. And your mom, Evelyn, who, of course, is a regular on the show. Just to talk a little bit about when you're facing life and death and what you do in those moments and what life is like when you think, wow, this could be it. And the way you handled it was pretty amazing. And it's a story worth telling. So I just want you to tell the people that haven't read Super Lawyers and haven't read Diagnosis Life what happened.
Well, they can still read Super Lawyers.
They can. And can I tell them where?
Yeah, where can you get this article?
You can go to superlawyers.com. That's superlawyers.com and look up Diagnosis Life. It's a
Diagnosis
outstanding
Life.
Article.
Yeah, so they contacted me because they had heard about this incredible story that happened to me about 5 years ago. It was very strange. One night, I was in my condo by myself. I wasn't married at that point. I wasn't engaged. I had a girlfriend. And all of a sudden, I started getting incredible, incredible pain in the left side of my stomach, basically. And I had had kidney stones before, so I thought it was perhaps kidney stones. It got to be so bad that I could not even move. I was literally bent over in tears. I went outside. Next door to me actually is DJ Ashba. He lived next door to me.
And DJ Ashba, for those of you who don't know, was the guitarist in Guns N' Roses for a very long time.
Right.
And now he's in 6 AM.
He's in 6 AM with Nikki Sixx.
That's right.
So he's a rock star. And he had helped me a lot with, just hanging out and playing some guitar with me, even though I didn't play. And so he was like, oh my goodness, we better ask Jimmy Pena, who's another neighbor who is actually the personal trainer for Mario Lopez. I lived on Star Road.
It's like Melrose Place.
Yeah, Melrose Place. So they looked at me and they said, oh, we can't even get him to the hospital. They called an ambulance. The ambulance came. They loaded me in. They took me over to the emergency room. And I thought, okay, just give me some drugs. Get this kidney stone out and I'll be fine. I was laying there, and about an hour later, they had done a CAT scan, and they had said to me, we don't think this is kidney stones. So I said, well, what is it? And I was better by, they'd give me some Dilaudid, so I was feeling okay. And they said, I'm sorry to tell you, but we have seen a huge tumor in your torso area, its size of a grapefruit. And they called a friend of mine who's a urologist in Santa Barbara. He rushed down. This was like midnight. He came in to look at the films. And by the next day, they had concluded that I had a very, very large tumor and was very dangerous. It was on my kidney, and they had to try to remove the kidney.
Now, let me ask you this, because that's, I think, the fear. For me, it's the scariest thing in the world. And I think about it a lot. What if somebody told me I had cancer?
Right.
What if somebody said that? How would I feel? How would I react? What was your first thought when somebody, when that doctor said, you've got a large tumor?
Yeah, well, surprisingly, I didn't really react too much. I guess I was in disbelief. I didn't really understand everything about it. I was in the hospital for another 2 weeks. Then they transferred me over to Cedars-Sinai. I had lost so much blood, they couldn't do surgery. They said they needed to get it out. They needed to get the tumor out. They needed to take the kidney out. I asked, you know, do they do any kinds of tests? They said, we can't. We have to take everything out. It's too large, and we have to take the kidney with it. We have to do it right away. But right now, you are not healthy enough to have surgery. And so I had a number of blood transfusions. I'd lost a lot of blood. They also did another procedure where they went through my groin to shut off part of my kidney because there was so much bleeding going on. And finally they said, okay, you now have the numbers that we can do the surgery. So when that occurred, I was at Cedars, and another blow came. They did another CAT scan, an MRI. They were doing every test, diagnostic test possible. And the Sunday night, they said it was good. It was September 19th, actually. I remember the day, of course. And they said they were going to do the surgery. The night before, Sunday night, I get a call, and I swear this is true, from the doctor. And he said, I have some bad news from you. We looked at the new films, and there are spots everywhere in your upper torso. It looks like it has spread. There, your whole body is riddled with this tumor.
So you had, was it lung cancer as well?
No, it's on the kidney.
But it spread to your lungs. Is that what they're saying?
They were saying that they saw spots everywhere, which suggests that it had spread.
Everywhere. So it could have been like cancer, like malignant, all over
everywhere.
Your body.
Right.
So that was basically terminal.
Yes. Well, I don't know that. No one says that to you. They just said, we have to get it out. We have to go in. We'll see what happens. So the surgery was scheduled for the next morning, which was a Monday morning, September 19th. And I remember getting up early, and you'll see it in the article. I talked about getting up very early. I was attached to a bunch of IVs. I walked around the hospital. I basically had all kinds of thoughts going through my mind. I had my headphones on, and I was pumping Green Day because I love Green Day, and it said, wake me up when September ends,
love that song.
And it was September 19th, and I was waiting 11 days. I just wanted to be woken up after September ended. I got myself in the right frame of mind. I got back to my hospital room on the 8th floor at Cedars. My mom had flown in previously. My brother had also flown in to see me. My brother had to go back. My mom was there, and my girlfriend, Nancy. And the surgery was scheduled for 11 o'clock at 10:30.
Okay, hold on. I need to ask you a couple questions before you give us the ending. When you're told that you have this, when you're told that you have a major tumor and it looks malignant and it's spread through your body, you see this on TV and film a lot, like your life flashes through. Your life, like your life with, you know, Nancy, your life with your mom, your childhood, your work, what you wanted to do. Did that happen? Did
No.
you think about that at
Absolutely
all?
Absolutely not.
Nothing.
I was just totally focused. I don't know why I didn't think about things. I mean, I'm sure there were some moments where, you know, weak moments, and there were where I was sad and upset. But I was so focused on this surgery, and I was so focused on being healthy for the surgery, because I felt so bad badly for so long, and I just was looking forward, let's do this, you know, I'm ready. But it's a good question. I don't know why. Maybe I didn't, you know, think so much about myself. It's like, whatever. Just another day in the life of Alan Gervie. But, you know, I was looking forward to getting out of the surgery and being healthy. And for that reason, I decided I was going to propose to my girlfriend at the time, Nancy. The surgery was scheduled for 11 o'clock in the morning. I had my office manager. We had had a ring made a couple weeks before. She brought it over. I hid it in my gown, my hospital gown. My mom had left the room. Nancy was alone. It was her birthday, so I gave her a gift for her birthday. And then I somehow managed to get off the gurney. I went on one knee. I found the ring, which was in my gown, and I asked her to marry me. And, you know, the funny thing is that everyone says, well, what did she say?
Yes.
And, you know, it's obvious. What is a girl going to say when the guy is going in for surgery and say, no, I don't think
Let's
so.
Let's talk about it later.
I've already moved on.
I mean, it's romantic in a tragic way.
Like, it was romantic. I played music. I pumped it. I gave her my headphones, actually. It wasn't Green Day. I she'll remember what the song was. It was like, What a Wonderful World or something like that. I don't know.
Did she cry?
I think she was a little shocked. She was just... We hadn't known each other very long, for maybe a couple days, actually, no, a few months. And, you know, the funny thing was is that I don't think she really understood what was all going on. And she really got, I'm getting choked up.
Yeah.
She got choked up. She took the ring, you know, she was happy. She said yes. And then I said, okay, let's do this. And they took me away. I gave everyone kisses and hugs. And here's the moral of the story, which is found in Diagnosis Life in the article. I got into the operating room. The anesthesiologist came and said, okay, we're going to wait. The doctor's running late. He's at St. John's Hospital. He has to come over to Cedars. So I'm not going to put you under just yet. There were about 20 people in the operating room. I was lying there waiting and waiting and waiting. It was about a half an hour, and the guy was talking, and then he said, okay, we have word that the doctor's coming. So they started to get me ready to put me under to do the surgery. The doctor literally, as they were starting to put me under, ran in. He wasn't walking. He was running. He said, wait, wait, wait. Stop, stop. Don't put that man under. And everyone's like, what? What's this guy saying? He ran up to the table and he said, I had another test done. I looked. I found a radiologist. I know it was a woman. I don't know who it was, but I know because he said she. She read the test results. She doesn't think it's a tumor. She says it's a hematoma. It's a ball of blood, and all the spots that we saw in the films were actual just pieces of blood that had broken off from the hematoma. We're not taking his kidney out. We're not going to operate. And that's it. He's going to go home. And everyone started cheering. The whole operating room was cheering.
Wow.
They were hugging. There were tears all over the place. High fives. The anesthesiologist said, in my 30 years of practice, I've never heard a story like this. You're going home. And they wheeled me out of the operating room. I appeared back in my room. My mom and fiance for the last hour were sitting there. They're like, why is he back? You know, was it too bad they couldn't do the surgery? Is he finished? And I started ripping the IVs out of my arm. I ripped them out of my arm. I jumped off the gurney. I went into the closet. I took my shorts. I put them on and my pants. The doctors came in, explained. There were tears everywhere. And I marched out of the hospital within about 10 minutes of getting that news.
Wow. I mean, if that's not a story, I don't know what is. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Alan's mom. We're going to be talking to, well, I don't know, if, possibly Nancy and the kids. They're here, Alan. Thank you so much for that. If you want to check out the story, there's more in the article. That's superlawyers.com, superlawyers.com, Diagnosis Life. It's Gervie's Law right here on 790 KABC. We'll be right back.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job.
RGW lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
The U.S. economy has been getting stronger, and home values have been increasing. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. Many of our clients have been taking cash out of their homes, a strategy that might work for you. The smart move is for you to refinance your mortgage right now with Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO, expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, wait! It's super lawyer Alan Gervey and Gervey's Law. I'm Carrie
That's
Kasem.
Funny.
Awesome music. We're talking about the article in Super Lawyers that came out this week, and it's called Diagnosis Life. It's about our host here. I've kind of hijacked the show because I'm interviewing Alan Gervey. I'm Carrie Kasem, interviewing Alan Gervey about this incredible story. And if you're just tuning in, Alan told a story about getting a diagnosis, basically a terminal diagnosis of a malignant cancer all over his body, and what happened was unbelievable, you know. Alan, if you could just basically tell the end of that story, because I'm telling what happened, but the end of the story was, it's miraculous. It's something that you just only see in movies, and people go, that never happens.
Right.
That's not real.
Well, it was real. I had just proposed to Nancy, who I'm glad to see sitting beside me, about an hour before the surgery. I had been told that they had to do it right away. Had to get a grapefruit-sized tumor out of my body, and it had spread through the body. And I was on the table in the operating room, and the doctor walked in and said, stop, don't put that man under. We just found out from a radiologist who was looking at the films that she doesn't think that it's actually a tumor or cancer, but it's a hematoma, a large mass of blood that had built up on the kidney and had broken off, little pieces had broken off through the torso. And he basically said, we're not doing any surgery today. That man's going home. And I was taken back to the room where Nancy had just, she was still staring at the engagement ring that I just given her. My mom was there, and they were like, why are you back? What happened? They're not going to do the surgery. It's too bad. And I'm like, No. I ripped out all the IVs and all the cords, and I said, we're going home. I don't have the tumor.
No. So, I mean, and if you want to hear this entire story, go to superlawyers.com. It's a great article. It's a great story. And look up Diagnosis Life. Now that we have your wife here and your kids who are sitting on your lap, which is so adorable, you've got two beautiful kids. And you have Nancy, your beautiful wife. When he was diagnosed with this tumor on his kidney, and then after that diagnosis, which was more harrowing and upsetting, was the fact that it had spread. There were these little tumors all over his body that they thought were tumors. What went through your head?
Well, the whole experience was very surreal because he went to the emergency room 2 weeks prior to that for his, what we thought was a kidney stone, and then they thought there was a tumor on his kidney, which was... I was in disbelief. And the night before he was supposed to have his kidney removed was the night that the doctor called him to tell him that they looked at the scan again and they said that it spread. So that was what he was dealing with going into the surgery the next day. And you know, I had to be really strong. I was leaving the hospital and I was crying and calling friends for support and trying to be really strong for him. And we had only known each other for about 4 months. So it was a new relationship, even though it was moving very fast.
But did you know that, did you think this could be the one?
Yes, we had already gone ring shopping and we talked about getting married. And
you had read the book Calling in the One.
Did you really? That's awesome.
Yes.
So when Alan is about to go in for surgery that could possibly, he may have made it through, may not have made it through, it may have had worse news, and he gets down on one knee in his gown right before surgery, and he proposes to you. What was going through, this is something out of a movie. What was going through your mind at that time when you saw him get down on his knee?
I couldn't believe that through all of this, he had somehow managed to create all of this and to make it a priority, even though he was thought that he had a terminal illness and we didn't know what was going to happen.
That's tragically romantic. I mean, there's some films you see. I love rom-coms, I have to admit. And you see this. You see where people propose when somebody's dying. They're like, please, I want to die with you being my wife. I mean, that is unbelievable. Did that kind of seal the deal for you?
Wait a second. I wasn't dying. I mean, I...
Well, you have this... A doctor calls you the night before and says,
so it did.
This is tragic. I'm so sorry. Bad news. You'd spread all over your body.
That's not the way I looked at things. I was just like, come on, let's do this. Let's move on. Let's take a day at a time. I was not making any arrangements or anything. I wanted to live my life with my wife, hoping that she would say yes. And, you know, I'm sitting here holding two amazing, beautiful kids. And that's, you know, what the dream was, even though I was facing some things that people don't always face. And, you know, I did end up feeling guilty that I got this clean bill of health when others don't. And I feel bad. You know, so many people go through such harrowing experiences with sickness and illness. And I feel guilty. Like, why me? Why was I given this second chance? And the article talks about it, that I was given a second chance at life. And hopefully I'm going to make the best of it.
What changed after that for you? What changed? Like, was there anything that you used to do that you didn't do before? Did you live life fuller? Was there something you decided, I'm going to do something in my life now?
Well, I think I didn't, you know, sweat the small stuff as much. And I know it's a cliche, but I just, inside me, I just appreciate every day. I appreciate the people in my life. I appreciate the work that I do. I appreciate my clients. I just have a sense of positive feeling. I'm so sick of hearing about anger and negativity, and, you know, we're hearing about it so much now. And, you know, you have to think of being thankful for what you have, making the most of your life. Yes, life isn't perfect. Okay, so deal with it. Move on. And my life wasn't perfect at the time, and I just had a focus on making things really great. I'm not being so worried, not being neurotic, and it just really refocused my energies on doing the right thing, being a good person, and not taking everything so incredibly seriously, and not having this anger in my heart.
But you also did something, too, that surprised me, and I think would surprise anybody that read this article. And if you're listening, you just joined us. We're talking about super lawyer Alan Gervey, who is the host of the show Gervey's Law. Super lawyers is a very prestigious honor. And when you get when you get in the magazine, it's by your peers. It's by, you know, Reuters and Thomson and Reuters. This is a huge honor. And you have this huge article on you, and if you want to read it, it's superlawyers.com, Diagnosis Life. You get out of the hospital, and you go to Uganda. And I think, didn't the doctors tell you not to?
Everyone told me not to.
Yeah, everyone was really mad at him.
Were you mad at him?
I was mad at him. His whole family wouldn't speak to him. Everyone thought he was nuts, including me.
And that's why I said, like, is this life change? You went out there, and you almost had this, like, what is that? That movie that about like pray, gorilla, eat, love, whatever.
Gorillas in the Mist.
Yeah, there's another one.
So I had applied for a license to track gorillas a year and a half ago. My whole life had been focused on adventure travel. I'd been around the world, and I'd really focused more before I was married on going places, experiencing life, and just living life to the fullest. So I had this license for a year and a half, and I was not going to be denied. They said, I can't go. You can't go track gorillas. You're going to Uganda. You're going to go hiking. You're going to find the gorillas.
Now, tracking means just like you go track them and watch them.
Yeah,
some people think tracking is killing them.
No. Basically, what it is I flew like 18 hours to get to Uganda. I traveled for about a week up to the mountains. I ended up hiking for a couple days just to spend 1 hour with the gorillas. And everyone said I couldn't go. The doctor said, absolutely not. You're not going. My family, my brother, sister, brother-in-law, sister-in-law all said, don't go. Nancy, of course, said, absolutely not. And I said, watch me. And I got a special telephone so everyone knew where I was at all times. I had super-duper insurance, everything. I could be airlifted at any time to get out of there. Everything was taken care of, and I had the most amazing time. I tracked the gorillas. I loved it. I have great pictures with the gorillas.
Can we post some on Gervie's Law?
If I can find them.
Okay.
I've moved on.
Because that's pretty amazing. that's why... The question came, is like, what do you live life to the fullest? Is it like, wow, I almost died? And you hear this a lot when people think, and I know you keep saying you didn't, but when you get it, when you get a diagnosis like that.
Well, my mom's shaking her head over there. So we'll get her on next segment.
She does not look happy. She does
not
look
happy.
No. But yeah.
Well, she doesn't like talking about this.
And I wouldn't either.
No one wants to talk about it. And, anyway. Nancy was great. She was very supportive. She turned off my water when I asked her to, because that was the only thing I worried about when I was rushed to the hospital, that left my water running.
Yes, when he was in ER. He just wanted me to go back to his condo to turn off his water faucet.
You just left the water running?
I was in so much pain. I don't know. Maybe I was washing my hands at the time, and I couldn't move to turn the water off. And the main thing that I thought about, they were telling me about that, you know, you have this diagnosis, tumor and everything. I'm going, Nancy, do you mind going back to my condo to turn the water off?
So that was what was going through his head. I'm like thinking, okay, my life, my mom, my family, my career. No, but it's, can you please turn the water off, Nancy? And is that kind of like how he is, just very level-headed with everything?
He is. He was very calm in the hospital. I could not believe it. And I was doing my best to stay on my best behavior because I just wanted to ask a million questions and yell at everyone. And I was just trying to be supportive and calm and easygoing, even though it was really hard.
Aw. So when we come back, we have to take a break in just a minute. But when we come back, we're going to be talking to Evelyn Gervie, who is the mom of Alan Gervie. You've heard her on the show before. We're going to see what she thought about this whole thing. If you just tuned in...
And we're also going to talk to Hudson and Harper.
Oh, yes, we've got to talk to Hudson and Harper.
Hudson, you want to say hi, and then you're going to talk after the commercial? Say hi.
Hi.
Harper?
Want to say hi, Harper?
Hi.
There you go.
Okay, we'll talk to you after the commercial.
Talk to these beautiful kids. You're listening to Gervie's Law. I'm Carrie Kasem. That's Alan Gervie. We'll be right back. It's... KBC 790.
Hi, I'm Steven Singer. Yep, that's me, the I Hate Steven Singer guy. People ask, what does this mean, I Hate Steven Singer? Well, maybe this is the reason. Most places try to sell you a gift for the occasion. Something just for the moment. Not a real I love you gift. More often it's a gift just to check off your list. Not to say I love you. Flowers, candy, pajamas are temporary. Steven Singer's famous 24-karat gold dip roses are forever. So don't get your wife or girlfriend some crappy gift that's going to wind up in the trash in a week. Give her a gift that she will cherish for a lifetime. Our 24-karat roses are deeply and lavishly dipped in 24-karat pure gold. Our premium colors like Sweetheart Pink, Purple Passion, and Green Apple are only available at IHateStevenSinger.com. Your Valentine's Day gift will arrive with your own love note in our signature gold gift box. If this is your first rose, I suggest getting the red. If you're a collector, check out our newest color at IHateStevenSinger.com or call 888-IHateStevenSinger. Free shipping is available now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
My name is Ruth Roosie. I'm a retired teacher. I'm 91 years old, and this is how I live United. I say retired, but not really. Once a week, I read books to children as part of United Way's education program. Reading to a child creates links between language and literacy. It creates a bond between grown-up and child. And believe it or not, it prepares them for a better academic future. Oh, we read about frogs and flies and pigs with wings, all sorts of juicy stuff. It's a joy to watch all those little faces. I figure I have the time and they have the need. And I've always believed that if we're not here to help each other, then what are we here for really? My name is Ruth Roosie. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Let's get it in gear.
The drive home.
Rudy Giuliani has gotten really creepy to me. Not that I was a huge fan before, but he's just so creepy. Ugh. I do not like him at all. Ugh. Right up there with Newt Gingrich for me.
Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason as to who you like and who you hate.
Me?
Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
I always feel like Lewis is kind of living on the line sometimes.
Is it that obvious?
The Drive Home with Jillian Barber and John Phillips.
Weekdays 3 to 6
on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We are the dinosaurs.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, 790 KABC. I'm Carrie Kasem. I'm here with Alan Gervey, who usually hosts the show. But because he had this fabulous article come out in Super Lawyers called Diagnosis Life about a really harrowing, really scary thing that happened to him. Pretty much being told, you've been diagnosed with cancer all over your body.
Stop saying that. My mom is not enjoying listening.
She is not enjoying. She's kind of upset about it. But it's true. Yeah. This is what happened. The entire article and this entire story is at superlawyers.com. You can go there. It's superlawyers.com. Check it out. It's a really great article. It's called Diagnosis Life. It tells the whole story. What an incredible story it is. I know your mom has been here and not real happy about having to go through it again and listen to you actually go through all of this story, the entire story. Evelyn? Are you going to get on the mic here? Because I got it. I have to ask you about this.
She's boycotting
a little bit.
But Nancy's here. She's only too willing to talk about it.
Yeah, Nancy's here, and Nancy is.
I'll tell you anything you want to hear.
Ellen's wife. Evelyn, can you get just come up on that mic a little bit? I want to hear. I know you've been sitting through this. You've had kind of a sour face. You're not very happy about it.
Well, it's very difficult to go through this kind of situation again. I mean, it was very, very hard for me. I've had to fly in from Winnipeg to L.A., all the way on the plane, thinking about your son in the hospital, so sick. I came alone. My husband was gone.
Evelyn has gone through a lot, especially with, you know, Alan, your other brother having a scare as well. And it's a lot.
2 weeks ago, I had to go through with my eldest son.
All right. We don't want people to get really depressed listening. This is Gervie's
But this
law.
Is life. This is diagnosis life. I mean, it comes right out of your article. The fact that everybody had a different kind of, they had to go through it differently.
Right. And I tried to calm people down. There were a lot of people who came and looked at me with these eyes and this face, and I just said, you know, it's going to be okay. everything's fine. You know, I was listening to my Green Day. I was pumping myself up. I was thinking, I'm an athlete. I'm going to get through this. And is she crying again? I can't
see. No, your mom
her.
Is making fun of you. Actually, like, making sounds like look at her. She's dancing. And she's putting her two little
fingers up. First of all, you're crying
and
now you're dancing.
Yes.
Which one is it?
I'm listening to you.
Well, I hope to have a calming influence on people because people tend in all kinds of situations to really lose it. And I understand that. Everyone's emotions are different. But at the same time, you know, there's only so much anyone can do. And you need to have a positive attitude. And you need to make sure that you focus on what you can control and don't focus on things that you cannot control.
And that's what you did. And so, it takes a certain kind of somebody to be completely okay and just have a positive attitude when you get a diagnosis like this. When he was a kid, what was he like? Did he get hurt and go right back in the game? What kind of kid was he? Alan Gurvey.
Well, he played sports. He got hurt, but he just went on. And
did he always have that optimistic attitude?
Yes, he was always optimistic, and he got hurt and got up again and went and did some more.
Do you have a funny story about him as a kid?
I would hurt others when people... They used to say, when I played high school football, they used to say that I abused my body because I was a defense. I played quarterback, but I wasn't good enough to be first string, so I was second string quarterback, and they put me in the defensive backfield. And I used to just abuse my body. I used to tackle head first and just jumped into tackles, and people used to say, why are you like that? And I'll say, it's because of my parents. They
what?
Made me an angry...
No. What?
Everyone's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And I used to sit in the audience watching the games with my hands covering my eyes so I didn't have to see all...
The carnage.
The carnage and the stretcher coming out and take him off the field.
Just made me want to go back on the field. That's all.
That's kind of like how you are, though, in everyday life. You get hit and you come back harder.
Take no prisoners.
Yeah. And that's how you are with your practice and how you've been so, just unbelievable fierce. Like, just fierce when it comes to who you take on and your clients. And how you are in the courtroom and what you believe is right and doing
right.
The right thing.
I was retained by another one of the San Bernardino terrorist victims.
Yeah.
Shot 7 times by the terrorists in San Bernardino. And amazing, amazing guy. I mean, my heart just goes out. And you know, when you talk about doing some good work, I really respect people who protest and people who demonstrate, but I also really respect people who are in the trenches helping people, doing the things that need to be done to make this world a better place. So it's not just about protesting, although that's the First Amendment right, and I respect it, but get out there and help people. It makes you feel really great.
And that's actually what Alan does all the time. He's there for you, no matter what.
Thanks, Mom. Oh, it is my mom. Usually you just say that, but it actually is my mom. It's like someone singing your praises. You go, thanks, Mom. And you go, no, it is. But, you know.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's
true. My family has been so supportive through this whole ordeal. I didn't know Nancy that long, but she was amazing, and it made me realize that she was the one because she stood behind me. Of course, my mom and my family members in Canada always stood behind me. I couldn't have had a better family and a better mother, a better father who unfortunately passed away 10 years ago, so he's missed all this, but he would have been right there supporting all of us just like everyone was during the period of time.
Now, in this article in Super Lawyers, and you can check it out, superlawyers.com, Diagnosis Life, you go through this entire traumatic story. And then, down on the bottom, there's another little article. It says, Alan's Excellent Adventures. And where did this come from? Did you just say, hey, okay, that was a traumatic story. Let me tell you about some of the fun stuff I've done.
No, I was actually interviewed for the story. I didn't know it was going to come out in first person. One of the reporters, Trevor Kupfer, was the guy who interviewed me a couple times, and he started asking me about my life and whether, you know, what I did as a lawyer and outside of my practice of law, and I told him about my interest in adventure travel. I've been all over the world in Tibet, Nepal, Cuba, India, Africa, Europe, everywhere you can think of, South America, And I told him stories. I told him stories about, you know, when I was in Cuba, and I showed the people for the first time a mirror, when the kids saw themselves for the first time in a mirror. I told him about when I was in the Chitwan Forest in Nepal, and I ran face-to-face with a rhino. And what had happened was I went with a couple of locals, and they said, if you ever see a rhino and he starts to charge, take your clothes off. That's the thing you have to do, is take your clothes off, and he won't charge you.
Are they joking with you?
No, they were very serious. So we ran face to face with a rhino. I took out my camera, of course, like an idiot, like what people, tourists, do to take a picture of him. I didn't know that there was a baby rhino beside a mother rhino, and she got very upset, thinking that she was at danger.
Yeah.
And she started to charge me. I started ripping my clothes off, and the two guys that I was with, the guides, were running like I couldn't believe it. I've never seen two guys run so fast. And I started screaming and saying, what are you doing? And they're going, run, run, run. I said, you told me to take my clothes off. And they go, no, run like hell. And so I was like, oh, I can't believe it. And I started running half naked, and the rhinos never got me.
That's terrifying. What are you talking about?
It was crazy.
They are huge.
And these guys told me to take my clothes off. That's what was going to distract the rhinos.
But they must have been joking.
They weren't joking. You don't joke about things like that.
I've never heard of taking your clothes off. Now, I've heard of, like, you make yourself bigger and you clap your hands, or you do something where you scare them, or you at least try. But taking your clothes off with, oh, gosh, Alan Gervie naked. I'm not.
No, it wasn't about me being naked, I don't think.
That's very scary.
I mean, what, do you want the rhinos to start laughing? You know, it wasn't that. I'm not sure. I still to this day don't understand why I was briefed to take my clothes off, including my briefs. But anyway, you know, one of the things is my adventure spirit travel has been passed on to my children.
Yes.
And we have Hudson here. And Hudson loves to travel. Hudson, tell me where you like to go. Which city or which country or which place? Where do you like to travel? Do you remember? You're not going to talk? You like to go to Hawaii? Toronto? All right. Well, does Harper want to give a shot at it? To show what the adventure spirit passed on in the Gerv. Go ahead. You can talk into it. What do you want to say? You're kissing the microphone? No, don't kiss it. Okay. Well,
they're coloring, and they're really
coloring.
Into
I don't
the
know
coloring.
Who gave them all of these toys, but apparently they were ready to talk, but now they're preoccupied. Hudson, what did you drop? What did you drop? Here's your
chance. There you go, the little cars. You know, Hudson, that's one of my most favorite things are motorcycles. That's a really cool motorcycle. Who gave it to you?
Daddy.
It's really cool. Can you tell me what color it is?
It's blue.
Yeah, and that's one of my most favorite colors. You know, I have a motorcycle, Hudson, and it kind of looks like that, but it's not that cool. It's not that pretty.
Harper, what about you? What do you have? Harper,
is that your teddy bear?
Who gave you the teddy bear?
Is that your teddy bear? That's a cool teddy bear. So yeah, we have the kids in the studio. Alan's your immediate family's here, I think, but we're missing your brother.
No, he's in Canada.
He went back to Canada.
He did. He was on the show a few weeks ago for our special holiday show. Hudson, we have 1 minute, and remember when Uncle Martin was on the show, he used to sing as we went to the commercials. Do you want to sing as we go to the commercials with your sister, Harper? You want to sing the ABCs? You ready? A, B.
C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
Keep going.
R. S.
Harper. You're not singing?
So cute. Oh, my gosh. Okay. You're listening to Gervie's Law. I promise this is really a law show. I'm Carrie Kasem. I'm here with Alan Gervie. If you just tuned in, superlawyers.com. Check out the article on Alan. It's called Diagnosis Life. It's 790 KBC. We'll be right back.
It's Peter Tilden, and I want to tell you about Flooring Pros. Their selection and prices are definitely going to floor you. They've got beautiful natural hardwoods and laminates and vinyls and tile, and they can beat the price of the big national advertiser who you see advertise every day by as much as 50%, and they get it done right because they have enormous selection and everything is in stock. So that means you can get a free estimate one day and installation the very next day. Check out FlooringPro.com. They're on Google. They're on that beautiful website, House. And check out their Yelp reviews. They're fantastic. So for the largest largest selection and the finest hardwoods, environmentally friendly flooring, laminates, exceptionally trained experts, and the best price guaranteed, call the number one flooring company in Los Angeles, FlooringPro.com, at 800-815-1565. That's 800-815-1565. Call them for a free estimate or go to FlooringPro.com.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Hey, you like free stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, KABC is on a mission to hook you up with tickets to the hottest concerts, comedy shows, movie premieres, theme parks, restaurants, gift cards, cash books, DVDs, hats, t-shirts, fans, money, Well, pretty much anything that we can get our hands on.
Gimme.
But it's four. Hang on a second, Beecher. Four. Hands. You can get your hands on these cool prizes. There are a couple of rules.
KABC on-air contests are open to legal U.S. residents age 18 or older at the time of entry who reside in Los Angeles, Orange, San Bernardino, Riverside, or Ventura counties.
Employees of Cumulus Media Holdings Incorporated, its parent company, affiliates, related entities, and subsidiaries, other radio stations serving the listening area, and immediate family members and household members of all such employees are not eligible to participate.
Listeners may only win once every 30 days. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Limit one entry per person unless otherwise stated.
A complete copy of the rules can be obtained by visiting KABC.com/contest-rules.
Is it okay to punch a Nazi?
Yes.
Ow, that hurt!
No, for real. Because that guy, that Spencer guy?
You can't do that.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't take the law in your own hands.
Well, it used to be that if a guy was way out of line...
Take care of business.
You could take him outside and say, listen, this isn't going to go on anymore.
Henry Truman used to do that.
And things seemed to go pretty well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My point being is that violence isn't the answer unless it is.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Mike Catherwood. Weekdays, noon to 3 on KABC.
You're listening to Gervey's Law with Alan Gervey. I'm Carrie Kasem at 790 KABC. We are talking about the honor that was bestowed upon Alan Gervey, and that is being in Super Lawyers.
That was an honor to
Super
go
Lawyers
through
magazine.
What I went through?
No, not your story.
Honor.
Not your harrowing story, but the fact that you are a super lawyer and that your peers have voted you in, and that
Whatever.
It's a pretty big deal.
Whatever.
So if you want to check out the story we've been talking about in the article, which is called Diagnosis Life, you can find it.
What does it say after Diagnosis Life?
Superlawyers.com. That's
Alan
Super
Gervey
Lawyers.
Alan Gervey was given a second chance.
Yes. So Diagnosis Life is Alan Gervey was given a second chance, and it's been carpe diem ever since. It's an incredible story. It's an incredible read. It's a great article, so you can check it out. I know we just have a few minutes left in the show, and Jason Rose, our producer, had a couple questions.
You have a couple questions for him. You got to stay on script here.
No, but he has a couple questions for us.
First, let us say goodbye to the wonderful guests, Nancy Gervey, Evelyn Gervey, and Hudson and Harper Gervey. Mom, are you by the microphone?
I'm here.
Thanks for being with us. Carrie really appreciates the fact that you would answer so honestly the questions and how you felt. And we're sorry that, you know, it's been hard to talk about this.
Yes. And
so thanks for being here. Hopefully we'll, you know, have you on better occasions, as they say, so we're not talking about a really hard time in all of our lives.
Right. Well, thank you for having me on.
Anytime.
And we'll talk about great things next time.
Yes.
Right. Great things.
Yes.
Positive
Happy
things.
Positive.
Yes.
And Nancy, you
want to... Thank you for having me on, and we're very proud of you.
Well, I'm very proud of the family. Okay, this is making people sick listening to this. Carrie, jump in. We'll just get Hudson and Harper to say, oh, you guys want to say bye to everyone?
Bye.
Bye.
Say...
Bye.
Say, it's been fun being on the show.
It's fun being on the show.
It's fun having you on the show.
Say, I want to come back.
I want to come back.
And what do you wish everyone to have a good day?
Yeah.
Harper, say have a good day.
Thank you very much. So cute.
After that, we need to have Jason come on.
He'll bring
some sanity to the show.
And there they go. Your kids are so cute. They're adorable.
Thank you.
So, you know, we have had so many wonderful guests here, and it, you know, the article in Super Lawyers does go over not only your diagnosis life, what happened, and your travels, but it talks about the show, and it says Gervy is also behind the mic for his legal-based radio show, Gervy's Law, and we have none other than Jason Rose, our producer.
How's it going?
Great to have you, Jason.
Well, what an incredible honor it was for you to be featured in this magazine, and also a great opportunity for people to get to know you a little bit better beyond your legal accolades, you know, get to know you a little bit.
All right, enough.
Yeah,
enough
all right.
About
yeah,
that. Let's talk about the guests. We only have a couple more minutes.
So who
did they talk about in the article?
So the first one, a no-brainer for anybody who's producing anything, is to try to get someone as amazing as Effley Bailey, known for his courtroom gymnastics, an incredible defense attorney, hard-nosed guy, and that doesn't stop when he gets out of the courtroom. You can tell by the way Bailey talks, he's straightforward, he's no BS, and he gives it to you straight. And you know, by the same token, that doesn't necessarily make him any better of a defense attorney than someone like the next guest who's mentioned, which was Jerry Spence. Spence has a completely opposite approach to being in the courtroom than does Bailey.
You know,
Bailey.
Jason, I have to interrupt you because it's really great that, you know, you're talking about this, but tell us from your personal experience. So you talk to all these people, Alan Dershowitz, Gloria Allred, Burt Fields, John Henry Brown, all of these people, they talk about Jerry Spence. What's it like when you're actually prepping them before the show?
Or actually getting
like
them to Jerry, come on the
like
show.
Like Jerry Spence.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a legend. How did you get him?
So Jerry Spence is very accessible because of his kind of transcendent philosophy on humanity. He's a philosopher, he's an author, he's an artist. And so when you talk to him, he does have this amazing presence, and he is all for the good of humanity. So when you say, hey, come be on the show, he wants to make sure that it's to his goal of making sure people understand.
Jason, so who's, we only have 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite? You've been talking, you've been booking guests, and they do mention quite a few of the guests that are on our show.
Well, John Henry Brown. John Henry Brown, of the guests who are mentioned in here. And
what about
overall,
guests that aren't mentioned?
You know, there are so many people who we'd love to still have on the show.
What do you mean
know?
Still have? Of course they'll be on the show.
Yeah,
I mean, you booked Aaron Brockovich. You booked Robert Kennedy Jr.
That's right.
Are you going to get him when he's working for Trump on this anti-vaccine
thing? That's a goal. We've had him before, and I'd love to have Eric Holder on the show. Eric Holder was hired by the state of California to kind of deflect some of President Trump's maneuvers that he's going to
try.
So
who else are you going to get on the show? You've had just about everyone. We think of all the prominent lawyers,
sure,
a lot of the congressmen. You've had some actors. We had Cindy Crawford on.
Jason Patrick. We've had like so many different.
Jason Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
that
come on. He's on,
Way,
you know, he's think, on Wayward Pines, and he
nice.
Had a great.
I think he's
he won,
pining for you. Wayward
Jesse
Pines.
Thinks
I think
the
that's
same
why
thing.
He was
my
on,
boyfriend.
Yeah.
He's like,
well,
he likes you well.
Okay, 1 minute.
Besides that point, hold on. It was a great story, and he was victorious like I was. And I think we tell compelling stories here.
Yeah, and I think that's what the goal is. And so on Gervy's Law, we always try to tie together law and life, and I think we've done that here today. And keep tuning in, because we're going to have some incredible guests coming up in 2017 that are going to really top what we did last year and in previous years. So
and when Jason says
in.
That, he means it. There's no one.
We're
I know he tried to get Justin Trudeau on, Prime Minister of Canada. He tried to get Donald Trump on. Kerry spoke to Donald Trump. So I expect big things in 2017 with our guests.
It only gets better and better and better. And that's it for us today. You know, if you just tuned in, or if you just tuned into this last segment, take a look at superlawyers.com. go to Diagnosis Life, read this article. It's compelling. It's a great read. And it has a good outcome.
All right, I'm taking over the host chair next week. Carrie, you're going to be my co-host.
That's fine.
You did a fantastic job.
Thank
I
you.
Love this job of being interviewed. But I'll take my job back.
Take Thanks. It now. Say, get us out.
Get us out. Have a great week.
It's Gerby's Law right here on 790 KABC. Where the city sleeps and I'm the only one and I walk
alone. This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
On average, Angelinos spend an additional 80 hours a year behind the wheel due to traffic.